Shalom, welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learned Psalm 118, the last mizmor of Hallel. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki li'olam chasdo. Commentators differ on the translation of the word hodu throughout Tanakh. The first time its form appears in the Torah is in Bereishit 29, when Leah says it after giving birth to her fourth child. Hapam ode et Hashem ki, this time I will something God. Hode probably means to thank, right? Many commentators suggest the definition of the word to mean praise, others use thank, while others offer the word acknowledge. All of these translations revolve around some action taken towards God in recognition of something done for the individual. Leah has four children, so she engages in this action of either thanking him, praising him, or acknowledging. Shmuel David Lutzato of Shadal, in an article he wrote for a journal called Bikurei Ha'itim, a 10th century compendium of articles, that's not 10th century, it's a 19th century, of articles from European enlightened Jewish scholars, offers a different interpretation. He claims that the root word of odeh or hodu stems from yada, meaning to give a hand, or surrendering, or subserviating. When the Tanakh uses the form of giving a hand, it refers to a coerced position to surrender to the greater party. When, however, it uses the form of hodu, it is voluntary act of submission as a result of the realization of the greatness of the other. Shadal continues to express that hodu has no connection to praise or prayer, rather subservience. People can praise other people in a non-committal way, half-baked or cursory, but not so with hodu, when one gives of oneself entirely to God. Why utterly submit yourself to God? He, for, the psalm begins and ends, with the call of the psalmist to engage in this act of complete submission to God, because ki tov. It is good. What's the nature of this ubiquitous phrase, ki tov? Ibn Ezra, on our psalm, notes that the verset is lacking a word. He thinks it should read ki hu tov, for he, God, is good. He suggests that it should be there, and it should be read as if it is. He offers a second interpretation, which is to add on the verb, which is missing. It should read hodu l'Hashem ki tov, l'hodot lo, praise God, for it is good to praise him. In the first expression, the word tov is an adjective. In the second, it is a verb. Amos Chacham notes that the language of ki tov is unclear. Who is good? What is good? Ultimately, he translates the expression as God is the good, but then offers a variation of that by stating that it could mean his kindness is good. And yet a third suggestion, praise God and all the good that we have received. I can't help but wonder if there is a reference here to creation, ki tov, is a catchphrase used by Ki tov is a catchphrase used by God six times, right? Vayar Elohim ki tov. And actually seven times if you include the final expression, which he says, tov me'ot. If we adopt Shadal's understanding of hodu and the reference to creation, we emerge with a fundamental understanding of this verse. Ultimately, we should all be beholden to God for the good he has bestowed upon us from the moment of creation. Our acknowledgement of the all-encompassing good that has guided us throughout our eternity should necessitate a constant resubmission to God as his humble servants. This psalm acts as a reminder of the essential priority to place God at the forefront of our consciousness. Thus, it opens and concludes with the same refrain, Hodu l'Adonai ki tov ki li'olam chasdo. Now, what about ki li'olam chasdo? How should we translate this second hemistik or first set? If in explaining the word tov, I hearkened all the way back to creation, in order to understand the notion of ki li'olam chasdo, I think all we have to do is go back to verse 117, the previous one. We mentioned that in the battle of God's truth, justice, righteousness versus God's chesed, kindness, compromise, love, kindness won out. For this reason, for the reason of God favoring a world of kindness over truth, we thank him eternally. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki li'olam chasdo. Yomarna Yisrael ki li'olam chasdo. Yomruna Beit Aron ki li'olam chasdo. Yomruna Yirei Adonai ki li'olam chasdo. Who should say this? Israel, the house of Aaron, and those who fear the Lord. The first section of the psalm connects to the hallowed themes of Israel, the house of Aaron, and the house of those who fear the Lord. Those groups we read about twice in Psalm 15, where the first time was a call to them to have faith in God. The second time was a response from God to bless each group. And the third time says that each group will declare, Hodu l'Hashem, thanking God for all his kindness. The remainder of the psalm can be split into two sections. The first describing the calling to God from distress, min ha-meitzar, while the second offering gratitude to God for triumph and celebration with one lone verse asking for salvation. In the final psalm, the hollow of the hollow prayers, the author could no longer contain himself and poured out his heart to God concerning his plight. He was in distress. He was surrounded. He was struggling. But he called out to God and was answered. Shem Adonai Ki Amilam, Docho Dichatan Olam Dipol Ba'Adonai Azarani Aziv Zeretiyah Ba'Yil Yishua Kol Yishan Rina Ba'Yishua Ba'Lei Tzadikim Yimil Adonai Yosechayel Yimil Adonai Rohema Yimil Adonai Yosechayel Lo Amut Ki Yechiyah Ba'Saper Ma'Seyah Yassor Yisraniyah Ba'Lamavet Lo Netanani. I called out to God in distress. The Lord is my side. I shall not fear. Man cannot hurt me. The Lord takes part in with those who help me. It is better to take refuge in God than to put confidence in man. It's better refuge in God than to put confidence in princes. Nations surround me, but God will cut them off. They surround me, indeed, they surround me. But in the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. They surround me like bees. They are quenched like a fire of thorns. But in God's name, I will cut them off. You pushed me so hard that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does bravely. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does bravely. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastised me severely, but he has not given me over to death. The word meitzar, distress, is very rare. It appears only once in Psalms and one more time in Eicha, describing Judah in distress. Kol orfeah hisigua ben hamitzarim. Yet the psalmist does not plead. These are songs of gratitude. He does, however, describe his distress, referring to nations surrounding him like bees, nearly falling, not dying. Yet all these concerns are in the context of God's beneficence to him. The Lord on his side, whom to fear? In God's name, I will cut them off. God is by my side. I will look to upon my enemies. The Lord is my strength and my song. The penultimate verse of this section should have been the concluding one, as it culminates with total gratitude and resolve. I will not die, I will live, and I will tell the stories of God. Yet one verse is added, as if the psalmist couldn't hold back his criticism or perhaps introspection. God chastised me, but did not give me over to death. The commentators explain that this final verse is actually the second half of the previous one. The reason he will not die and will call out to God is because, though God punished him for his sins, God nevertheless let him live and support him, bringing him back from the edge of death to life. This then is the reason for the intense gratitude. It's unusual for us to read this and not repeat it, because in the Hallel, each verse is repeated. We wonder why. The entire section from the words Odcha is repeated. And sometimes one person states it, another person responds to it. What's going on? For the translation, open up gates of righteousness, I will go in them, I will praise God. This is the gate that righteous shall enter. I'll give you thanks, God, you answered me. The stone which the builders rejected had become the headstone or the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. This is the day in which God has made. Save us, we beseech you, God. We beseech you, send us prosperity. Blessed who comes in the names of God, in the name of God. We bless you in the house of the Lord. God is the Lord. You are my God. Give thanks to the Lord for his good. Hodul Hashem ki tov ki lo chasdo. Commentators debate whether the call to open the gates of righteousness is a literal one, Rashi, Rashbam, and Sforo, or a metaphor for beginning his praise of God, Ibn Ezra, Radakana, Barbanel. Either way, the psalmist begins his intense expression of praise, noting that he will thank God for having his prayers answered, leading towards salvation. Verse 21 has the psalmist calling out to God in gratitude, ki anitani, meaning, God has answered me. The commentator Ho'il Moshe, Rav Moshe Yitzchak Ashkenazi, a 19th century Italian translator and commentator has a unique perspective, suggesting it means, I thank you, God, for chastising me, for tormenting me. Ki initani. He says that those pains he experienced have brought him to be able to experience true salvation. Commentators abound in finding the context of these verses. Is it talking about Israelites in Egypt, a general period of Israel's success in the eyes of the nations, men of Jerusalem or men of Judah? Radak sees these words as general praise of an individual who sees a change in his fortune. Thus, he starts by saying that at first I was rejected, but ultimately I reached the headstone. He then suggests that if the psalm is actually referring to David, the psalm can be read as a biography of his meteoric rise. At first he was rejected and reviled by those who thought he was unworthy, but Samuel anointed him regardless, whereupon his father, Jesse, recited, Eben Masu Abonim. But then, when they saw Samuel, they recited, Me'et Hashem Haita Zot. The day has come. And Samuel responded to them, Zehayom Asha Hashem Nagil Mishpachot. Today is the day of rejoicing. And the brothers who were there said, Ana Hashem Oshiana, God, please save us. And David said, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. He asked to be successful. Radak continues with each line to assign it to a different person at the time of the anointing until David called out, Eliya Tavodeka, you are my God, and I will thank you. And everyone responded together, Hodu Ladonai Ki Tov Ki Ulam Chesed. This interpretation must be the source of why these lines are recited, repeated, sung, and in some community, recited in response to song. At the beginning of the analysis, I mentioned Leah thanking God after the fourth child. Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher, author of the Torah, a fundamental work in Halakha, also wrote a commentary in the Torah. In it, he notes that every expression of thanks to God should also have some request, no matter how small. He proves it from Leah only thanking God after the fourth child, and not asking for more children. And as a result, she stopped having children. He explains that this is the reason that the end of Psalm 118, the psalm devoted to gratitude and praise, there's still one verse of prayer, God save us, God help us succeed, Ana Hashem Oshiana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. The psalm concludes in the way it began, thanking the Lord for Ki Tov, for he has provided good from time immemorial and continues to provide that good until this very day.